Lord, let us not get in our flesh right now. Let us mind you. Have your way, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise His holy name. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Colossians? Colossians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In these few short chapters in Colossians, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, paints one of the most beautiful pictures found in all of Scripture of the believer's position in Christ Jesus via faith in His finished work at the cross. And we begin reading in chapter 2 at verse 1. He says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the believer's glorious position. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you for the manifest presence of your Holy Spirit in this service today. I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful praise and worship that we've heard go forth from your people. Lord, I thank you for the way you moved through the praise and worship service. Lord God, we give you praise and glory today, and I thank you for your Spirit. Lord, we always welcome that here in this church. We need that in our lives. And Lord, today I asked you to anoint me to minister unto your people, Lord. I sense, Lord, and have all week that today your Holy Spirit wants to build a greater knowledge of our position in you today, deep in our spirits. And Lord, I know I can't do that. Lord, but this is your work via the person of your Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Lord, to help me to preach in such a way and anoint me in such a way that the Holy Spirit would be free to move through your word. Help me preach it in power, in clarity. And Lord, most of all, help me to preach it under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do in our lives this day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. It's been in the news again this week about the horrible situation that Tiger Woods is in. And I personally believe the man is heartbroken. I believe he doesn't know what to do. His world has crumbled. And with all the resources that this man has at his disposal, he cannot fix what's gone wrong in his life. Now, I want you to think of all the power that this gentleman has. He is capable of purchasing anything that money could buy. He is so very well connected in the power grid that he could obtain almost anything he wanted. But yet he cannot fix this problem that has crushed his life and crushed his spirit. I watched, and I don't know if any of you saw it, when Britt Hume, the Fox News commentator, and praise God he said it. You must have heard it then, Chris. You see, Tiger Woods is a Buddhist by faith. And he has made prior statements that he cannot accept all tenets of the Buddhist faith. But Brit Hume went over national TV and made the statement that Tiger Woods needs to turn to Christianity, because Christianity is the only thing that works. Wow, that's bold. And naturally, he took a lot of heat for it. They didn't sit down, and because with the Buddhist community knowing that Tiger was a Buddhist, they took exception to that, of course. But that does not negate the fact that what Brit Hume said was the truth. Because with all the human power at Tiger Woods' disposal, he is just like any other human being who is bound by the sin nature. He cannot pay his way out of it. He cannot buy enough influence nor put himself around enough influential people to help him out of what's vexing his soul right now. He needs Jesus. And I pray he finds it. I don't condemn the man. He's acting and has acted like any sinner would act who's bound by sin and cannot extricate themselves from sin's power. Brit Hume gave him some good advice. Christianity is the only thing that works, because only Christ provides the power for man to defeat the sin nature. It is an amazing fact that we cannot change our lives. No matter how much money, wealth, position we may obtain in this world, it still leaves mankind bankrupt spiritually, with no ability to change his life, with no ability to break the power of sin that holds him down and overrides him and causes him to do things that are so self-destructive and so destructive to those that are around him. Nothing can change that but Jesus Christ. And if Tiger bows his knee and calls upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, instantly, in the mind of God, the second he would place his faith in Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ has done for him at the cross, he would be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He would immediately be rooted in Jesus Christ. He would immediately be made to be alive in Jesus Christ. He would immediately be hidden in Jesus Christ. And he would immediately be complete in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can do that. And that's what this book of Colossians is all about. Those four tenets of the position in Christ that I just gave you are what the crux of this letter to the Colossians is about. It's been said by military strategists that your position in a battle means everything. Because if your position is correct, that position can be held and maintained even when a superior force is coming against you, if you're in the right position. What I want to submit to us today, there are two facets of our standing with Christ. There is our actual physical condition. That's not very good. Ain't gonna cause nobody to shout, but our human condition ain't very good. That's poor English, but it's good preaching. Our human condition is such that we're helpless without him. We can do nothing without him. Jesus even said that in the book of John. Outside of me, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Outside of me, you can do nothing. He meant exactly that. We are so utterly helpless outside of Christ. But he went on to say, he said, Father, these that you've given me, I hold them in my hand, and nobody can pluck them out of my hand. Wow! What security that should bring to the believer. Not that the idea was that we're literally held in his hand. The idea is that his all-encompassing power takes us and secures us. His overcoming victory he gives to us when we place faith in him. Hence, we're held by him spiritually. And once we're held by him spiritually, we are liberated from the power of the sin nature. Its power to dominate us is totally broken and destroyed. And God does some wonderful things. He changes our position. There are two things. As I said, our condition, which is not very good. But the very second we place faith in Christ, we gain a position in him. And that position is never what our human condition is. Let me explain further. You look at your life this morning, if we'll be honest, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in some form or fashion. That's our human condition. That changes. Our human condition can change and vacillate from second to second, literally. But what has occurred and what Paul is writing about in the book of Colossians, when we express faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at the cross exclusively and place our faith there, we obtain a position in Jesus Christ that is unchangeable, that is never, never going to vary in any capacity whatsoever. And what is that position? We gain a position of being in Christ. That is glorious. That is absolutely glorious to think that God takes us first of all, and he said here in this book of Colossians that we are rooted and grounded and established in him. When Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's an amazing fact. I'm not a horticulturist, but I've heard and seen it done before on TV and by people who know what they're doing, who can grow things. I can't grow weeds. I mean, I don't have a green thumb. But how they can take a branch, a dead branch, and somehow it's called the process of grafting. Take that dead branch and somehow place it into a live tree that is giving and that has its roots deep and is giving life to all the branches. And all of a sudden, that branch that was dead and lifeless because it's been grafted in to a source of life and strength, that branch that was dead begins to live again. Glory to God. That is exactly what happens when we obtain a position in Christ via faith in what he did at the cross. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually speaking, we had no life at all. But when we said, Lord Jesus, will you forgive my sin? Will you wash me clean in your precious blood? He took that which was dead, the Holy Spirit did, planted us in Christ, and now we are rooted and grounded spiritually in him, and there is a continual flow now of life-giving water coming from the root out to the branches. Christ is our tree. We are the branches, and there is life in him and life only in him. He can take that which was dead and bring it back to life because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. That is the first tenet of our position in Jesus Christ, is that we are made alive in him. That which was dead now comes back to life. That's glorious, my brothers and sisters. Excuse my exuberance about it this morning, but like the old song says, I never shall forget the day that all the burden of my sin was rolled away. He made me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're rooted in him. That's the first tenet of the position we gain in Christ. And I want to reiterate, when we gain this glorious position, and it's only gained by faith, we can't buy into it, we can't position ourselves into it, it's only obtained by faith in Christ. But once we get it, it is unchangeable, even though our human condition may change. Here is why the believer needs to focus on the Word of God and on his position in Christ. You know why? Because our condition is going to be all over the place. Because that's us in the flesh. Our human condition is us in the flesh. And it's going to be up, down. We're going to be happy, sad, mad, glad. We're going to go through a myriad of things. And you know what? If you look at that, you want to discourage yourself? Take a good look at your human condition. Man, you'll get depressed in a hurry. There ain't enough Prozac to undepress you. When you start looking at human condition. But when you focus on your position in Christ, because of your faith in him, you're continually reminded that position is unchangeable. That position is constant. That position will never vary because, listen to this, this is glorious. God is not going to change his mind about anybody who's put their faith in Jesus Christ. No matter how weak, stumbling, and feeble their condition is, with God Almighty, as long as faith is in the cross, that position is unchangeable. God looks at you and he says, they belong to me. I love them. I have cleansed them. They are mine, just like my son is, because we are rooted and grounded and established in Jesus Christ. My Lord, ain't that enough to shout over? Glory to God. So we're rooted and grounded and established in Jesus Christ, the first tenet of this glorious position that we have. And then, as I said, we're made alive in him. Made alive. The book of Ephesians tells us, ye who were once afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That means we were totally alienated from Almighty God. And you know, here's why most Christians don't experience the joy that Christianity should bring to an individual. They never consider their position in Christ. They're always looking at their human condition and trying to repair human condition through human effort. Now, I want to say that again, that we need to get a hold of that. We need to get our mind around it. Most Christians don't have joy that they should have because they're constantly looking at the condition their life is in. And they then know that something's wrong, and they try to repair that condition through human effort, and it can't be done. I was saddened when I heard that Tiger Woods was, and I don't mean to denigrate this brother. I love him. I'm praying for him. Please don't think I'm trying to embarrass him because of a public failure. That's not the idea. But I heard when he was going to psychologists to try and get help, I immediately began to pray for him when I heard it on the radio. Because psychology cannot change human condition. But the power of the Holy Spirit can change human condition. He can change the heart. He can change the desires. He can take things out that ought not to be there and put things in. But that's why if you look at your condition and totally forget about your position in Christ, you're going to be robbed of joy in your Christian experience. When a change needs to come, and I'm not saying ignore the need for change in your human condition, I'm talking about first focus on your position and know if there's going to be a change in human condition, it can only come by the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is, because of your position, you have access to the power that will change your human condition. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? I hope I'm making it clear. I pray I'm not confusing you, because it's utterly glorious. But that condition will never be changed until the believer becomes aware of his position in Christ and focuses on that. And you know what most Christians do? And I was this way for years. I'm not talking down to anybody. They will read a few scriptures, formulate a theology on that, and if we're not careful and we don't allow the Word of God to grow us and we don't go back and read it all the time, do you know what happens? A spiritual retardation sets in. We become spiritually retarded. What do you mean? Because you will form your entire theology of how to relate to God on a very small bit of information that you possess. And there'll never be any growth there. And what will happen over a period of time, I've watched it happen in people's lives. They'll keep going back to this one little thing they learned 20 years ago, and it might have been truth. And probably still is truth, but they haven't grown past that. There's been no change in their life. They're still saved. I'm not saying that. But they have lived a miserable Christian experience. There's been no joy there because they have not gone on to think continually of their position in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to mature them and to change their condition via His power. And they're the same way they were the day they got saved. They haven't grown any at all spiritually. They haven't grown in the knowledge of Christ. They haven't learned any more about the power of the Holy Spirit. They've been miserable for 20 years and been saved. And they focused all their theology on one little bit of truth they learned 20, 30 years ago. And I'm telling you, this word is alive, church. There's always going to be more to learn about Jesus. There's always going to be more that He wants to grow and do in us and change our human condition. But until we understand how that's done, it's done via us placing our faith in Christ, which gives us the position of once we were dead, now we're alive, once we had no rooting and grounded, but now we have been grafted in to the tree of life, Jesus Christ, and we were once dead, now we're made alive, glory to God. And if we don't concentrate on our position and how change is affected to our condition, we're going to live a defeated Christian experience. We're really no better off than the world. And sadly, I've got to preach now. Sadly, with the church falling away from the cross of Christ the way it's done, which that is the power source of the church, Christ and Him crucified, nothing else. With the church falling away from that, and with the church offering everything else known to man to change human condition, it has made a mess out of everything. I mean that. Most churches today, there's no power of the Holy Spirit like we felt this morning. Why? The Holy Spirit wants to be there. God wants to bless. But if the object of faith is not exclusively Christ and Him crucified, there can be no real power of the Holy Ghost. But the good news is when that faith is placed in Him, Jesus said, if two or more are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. I wouldn't trade anything, the biggest cathedral, the most membership, the biggest tithe. Give me the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. Cause Heather, go ahead, praise the Lord. Heather sung it right this morning. In the presence of Jehovah, there's peace, there's joy, there's victory, there's His power, there's His changing power, there's His overcoming power, there's His victorious power. Give me Jesus. Take everything else away, but give me Jesus. And if we can live in such a way that we're reminded of our glorious position in Him, made alive, rooted and established in Him, but not those things only. And you can read all this in the second and third chapters of Colossians. I haven't been giving you reference for sake of time, but because I wanted to get all this out today. Not only are we alive in Him and rooted and grounded in Him, Colossians 3:3-4 tells us that our lives are hidden in Christ. Whew! In the Old Testament, when Moses was nearing the end of his life, he asked and said, Lord, the Lord he had spoken to so many times in the tabernacle, he said, will you let me see your glory? And human flesh, because of its condition, can't stand too much of God's glory. We fall so short of His standard. But God does a beautiful thing and that He wants to draw people near to Him. He wants to relate to mankind. He told Moses, Moses, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock and I'm going to put My hand over it. And when I pass by, you can look at My glory from the backside. That was a type of our lives being hidden in Christ. What does that mean? Were our lives not hidden in Christ, God cannot relate to us. It's that important, because with this glorious position that we obtain when we place our faith in Christ, He takes us, and God does, the Holy Spirit, and hides us in Christ. Now this is so glorious that I don't even know if I have human words to preach it right. But what it literally means, we're hidden in the rock, Christ Jesus, the rock of our salvation. God spiritually takes us when we exhibit faith in what He done on the cross and hides us in Him. What does that mean? We cease to exist as a legitimate self and a legitimate person? No, not at all. But what it does mean is that when God looks at us, He sees us as being perfected in Christ. He sees us with the perfection of Christ, with the holiness of Christ, with the righteousness of Christ, because we're hidden in Him. All of our sin and all of our human condition would be the correct way to say it. All of those failings, all of the inadequacies, all of the inconsistencies with which we live is now hidden in Christ because of our position in Him. Hidden. In other words, God just sees the glory. He don't see the failure. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And if believers will only learn to think on their position and live knowing that no matter what my condition is, it might be chaos right now in my human condition, but my position is unchangeable because I have been made alive in Christ. God the Holy Ghost has rooted and grounded and established me in Christ, and my life is now hidden in Christ. Glory to God. Glory to God. Meaning when God now looks at me, He doesn't see my sins and failures. He does not see all of the shortcomings, all of the inconsistencies, all of the inadequacies. I am hidden in Christ. You are hidden in Christ. That is your position. That will never, never change. The Holy Ghost wants somebody to know this morning that God is not going to change His mind about you as long as that faith is in the right place. The position will never, never, never change. Give Him glory this morning. Hallelujah. So our position is one of being rooted in Him, being made alive in Him, being hidden in Him. And Colossians 2 and 10 puts the cherry on the cake, so to speak. Our lives are made complete in Him. Wow. Now here's the whole crux of the matter when it comes to dealing with sin and its ravages. Many of you know my brother was in a terrible accident this week, and he barely clung to life on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And I know Darren hadn't been living for the Lord. I knew that. But when I heard the news report on Channel 7, I know how Darren's been raised. And I know when I was in sin, no matter how drunk or how high I was on whatever, this is the power of the gospel, parents, that you deposit in your kids from somebody who's been there. It's so powerful. It's more powerful than drugs. It's more powerful than alcohol, because it would always be in the back of my mind, that voice of the Holy Ghost reminding me, you're in sin. You need Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know if we know how powerful this gospel is that we preach, but it is. It's more powerful than anything in this world. And when I heard the news report that said he'd communicated with the paramedics, and they now believe that he'd laid there, and that sub-freezing, not laid there, but was trapped. The engine literally fell on his lap. He hit the tree with such force that he was there for approximately 4 hours in sub-freezing temperatures. But when I heard that he was communicating with the paramedics when they got there, I knew, Darren knew to get a prayer through. I don't know what his condition was mentally. I really don't. I'm not sure. But I do know this. I do know how powerful this gospel is. And I knew in my heart that as he lay there, and God is so quick to save. We think it has to be in an altar sometimes and real emotional and all that. If the mind, even though a person can't speak, if their mind, that's their spirit crying out to God. That's what it takes anyway. We'll say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. He says, I will. Glory to God. And I knew that Darren had probably gotten a prayer through. I knew he knew to pray. And finally, thanks to a miracle of God on Friday evening, as I shared with you, he finally started coming around. I thought several times he's gone this week. I did. I thought he's gone. I told Dennis when I talked with him several times, I said, it's been like riding a roller coaster, Dennis. I said, I hate to call and tell you his condition, because I'd call and say, hey, he's doing better. Then that cranial pressure would spike to 30, and they'd be afraid his mind was literally going to explode. But finally on Friday, due to a miracle of God, he came around. And when I went in that room, they said, don't overstimulate him. And I said, I'll only stay about a minute. And that's all I stayed. But I went in and I touched him. I said, Darren, I said, it's Greg. And tears started rolling out of his eyes then. And I said, I love you, buddy. And I said, have you prayed and asked Jesus to save you? And it was one of his first responses he had in coming around, I'm told. And I know it cost him a lot, but it blessed me. He lifted his head up off of that pillow and he went and gave me those two nods. I don't care what he had done before. At that moment, he obtained a position in Jesus Christ. And his position was one of death to life. His position, yes, yes, this is the grace of God. His position was one of being unfounded and unrooted to being rooted and established in Christ. His position was one of having his sin and his shortcomings totally exposed, and he was transferred to being hidden in Christ. And now today, he is complete in Christ. What does that mean? That in Christ, through his death on the cross, he has supplied everything that we're ever going to need. Being his sons and daughters, we are complete in him. Glory to God. What a position we have. And how rarely we think of it in the way we ought to. Because we're too busy. Many times we're all guilty of it. I ain't talking down to nobody. I do it myself. We get focused on our condition, don't we? And man, now look, I don't know about you. I'll just use myself here. There are times when I lay my head on my pillow at night now, I think, dear Lord, I am such a mess. I am such a mess, God. But the Holy Spirit has taught me. When I think that, almost instantaneously now, because the Holy Spirit has trained my mind to do this, there'll come that blessed assurance. Yeah, your condition ain't so hot, Greg. But you know what your position is. Everything's all right between me and you. Praise God. And I'm working on you. And I haven't give up on you. And I'm going to keep working on you. And I'm not going to let you go. Because I'm holding you in my hand. And nobody's going to take you away. What Jesus was meaning when he said that was no power can change the glorious position you have in me. Now that should be a great source of security for us as believers. When we survey our human condition, and we should look at our human condition sometimes. I'm not saying totally ignore it. But I'm saying when we do look at it, and if that's all that we focus on, we're going to become very discouraged. Because I don't know about y'all, there's a lot in me that needs fixing. Vonnie, you missed a great chance to say amen there, honey. There's a lot in me that needs fixing. And if I focus on all that work that needs to be done and how the magnitude of the work that needs to be done, I'm going to become frustrated. I'm going to just think, oh, hell, it's not even worth trying anymore. I think we'll be honest, that's anybody. And if that's all we focus on, we will become discouraged. But when you survey and you think of your human condition, never forget the glorious, unchangeable position you have in Jesus Christ because of your faith in him. A position that cannot be bought, cannot be ascended to with human power, that is freely given as a gift of God's grace because of faith in Christ and him crucified. And that position is one of being brought from death to life in spirit. It's one of being unestablished to being established and rooted in Jesus Christ. It's a position of once where we were laid bare and our sins exposed to our lives being hidden in Christ. And lastly, the glorious cherry on the cake, for lack of a better term, is that because of that position predicated upon our faith in Christ and him crucified, we're made complete in him. You know, I thought of it this way, and I haven't said this to her yet, but we were so brokenhearted over the condition that Darren was in. And we've been praying many hours, as I know many of you had. We're so grateful for a church family that knows how to get a hold of God and pray. I mean, that's I can't tell you what a strength and what a value that is. But it was late Thursday evening, I believe, when his brain pressure had spiked to over 30, and that's just bad ramifications medically. I'm not a doctor, but I know it was bad. That's what they told us. But Vonnie, I believe God gave her a word of knowledge to me on Thursday night because I hadn't slept much at all on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. She said, when we were just talking, I forget what exactly it was we're talking about, but she stopped and she looked off and all of a sudden tears filled her eyes. And she said, Greg, God just gave me a vision. And she said, I saw Darren laying there and he was sitting up at this time, half in the bed with everything in the world, tubes and machines hooked to him. And she said, I saw the hand of Jesus Christ holding him like this and God looking down on him, saying he's in my care. Wow. And it was almost from that time forward, he started to consistently improve. And I thought as I was preparing this message, that's really how it is with all of us. We're in his care. We have a position in him. When we place our faith and trust in Christ and what he did at the cross, the Holy Spirit gives us a position in Christ that is unchangeable. And the four glorious tenets of that position are: we're made alive in him, we're rooted and grounded and established in Jesus Christ. Our lives are now hidden in Christ. And we are made complete in Jesus Christ. That's why I titled this, The Believer's Glorious Position in Christ. So when you look at your human condition, as we should, and I'm closing now. When you look at that human condition, and you think, my Lord, so much needs to be done. Never forget your position in Jesus Christ. And look to him to affect those changes that need to be made. Don't look to some self-help book, some psychologist, even a preacher. All we preachers are, if we're doing it right, we're just one starving man telling other starving people about a guy who's giving out free sandwiches. That's it. We're no better off than nobody else. And if we're preaching the gospel correctly, that's how we're delivering it. That, hey, we're hungry too, but we know where to go to get fed. Hey, we were dying too, but we know where to go to find life. Hey, we were unfounded too, but we know where to go to get established. Hey, we were exposed too, but we know where to go to get hidden. Glory to God. And we were incomplete also, but we know where to tell you to go to get complete. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost just so beautifully falling all over the sanctuary right now. Never forget your unchangeable, glorious position in Jesus Christ. And never forget how that position is established by faith alone. By faith alone. Hallelujah. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Glory to God. Would you stand? Thank you, Lord. That's it, Michelle. Rock of ages. Cleft for me. Let that water in the blood. Yes. From thy wounded side that flowed. Yes, Lord. Rock of ages. Cleft for me. Let us hide ourselves in thee. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that our position includes being hidden in you. Praise God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. What a statement. I am the true vine. In other words, he is the source of life. He's the trunk of the tree, so to speak. And my Father, God, is the husbandman. Let your glorious position in Christ this morning as you dwell on it, let it bring life to areas you thought were dead. Sometimes the enemy can make us believe and rob us of a victory that should be. He can't rob it, we willingly give it over. But he does it by causing us to think, in ways that are not life-giving, predicated upon our position in Christ. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I could have, this situation would have been different, but I did this or that, and that part is dead now. You serve a God who's in the resurrection business. He can resurrect a relationship. He can resurrect a job. He can resurrect a financial loss. He's God. He's not limited. Hallelujah. He's not limited. Just as He brought life to our dead spirits, He can bring life to anything. Glory to God. So I feel that at this altar call this morning, as we're standing there, whatever you thought was dead, whatever you thought was thinking, can never be fixed, and it's never going to be the same again. That's a lie from the enemy. Because you are in a position with Jesus Christ, who is the giver of all life, who has made you complete in Him. And He will do for you, because of His grace, what no one else can do. Let Him do it this morning. Let Him do it. Let Him, I feel strongly to press this point right now. Let Him grow you up in the Holy Ghost. Let Him give you a hunger for the things of God like you've never known before. Because it gets sweeter the more you know about Him. The more the Holy Ghost teaches us about Jesus Christ, the sweeter He becomes, the more real He becomes, the more alive He becomes to us. But if we're never thinking about Him, and we make time for everything else in the world but our relationship to Jesus, we'll make it to heaven, but we'll never know the deep joys, the deep peace, the deep liberty that comes from an intimate relationship with Jesus. And no matter how intimate we may think we are, Lord, never let us become satisfied with where we are in Christ. Because this position, the four tenets of it I gave you, it's never changing, but they can grow. The Holy Spirit can grow these tenets of our position in faith in Christ. And He can cause us to realize how complete we are in Him on an ongoing basis, ever increasing in that knowledge of how complete we are, ever increasing in knowledge of how our lives are hidden in Him, ever increasing in knowledge of how we're rooted and established in Him, and ever increasing in knowledge of how we're made alive in Him. Let's bow our heads now as I look out over the crowd. I don't see anyone who I would think would be lost and without Jesus. So this has been for you believers today, this message. As we stand in His presence, just submit yourself to Him. And ask him big this morning. If you need something brought back to life that you thought was dead, He can do it. He can do it. He can resurrect it. And He can make it like it was never dead in the first place. This is the power of God. This is the things that only God can do. And I want to pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, give us faith today. Give us the gift of faith right now to believe You, to bring to life that which we have thought was maybe dead and never going to be fixed. Lord, You can do anything. And we place our faith in You, Lord, upon Your grace and mercy to do that. And Lord, I pray You'll give this church and give this body a renewed hunger for the things of God. A renewed hunger, Lord, to know You. Lord, and that we would become so hungry, Your Spirit would make us that way, Lord. That we would give a priority to knowing You in a greater way this year than we ever have before. And Lord, that'll be a sweet thing. It'll bring such joy and peace and liberty and tranquility to our spirits. Lord, forgive us for looking after those things in the world. There's not enough entertainment, Lord, to give us peace and joy in this world. Lord, there's not enough things in the world to give us what we truly need. We need You, Jesus. And may we focus in 2010 on our glorious position in You. For we're made alive in You. We're rooted and grounded and established in You. Our lives are hidden in You. and we are made complete in you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. It's been a joy to be with you this morning in God's house. I want to ask Brother Paul if he would come dismiss us in prayer. It's good to have him and Julie back with us. So good to have Monique and Mahari back with us. It's good to have all of you here. I love all of you. I don't mean to leave anybody out, but these folks have had to be away for a protracted period of time due to jobs and vacations, and Paul's been in Florida. I prayed he would have got so sunburned he couldn't walk, but he didn't. But anyway, it's good to have everybody back. And Monique, I don't mean to embarrass you, but what a blessing you are. I miss your shout. I do. You bless me. Amen? You bless me. You bless me with your shout. Praise God. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Wednesday night. Brother Paul, come dismiss us in prayer.